Blog Talk Radio.
Blog.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I wanna be a part of this New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are longing to strike and step around the heart of this New York, New York.
Every damn day, okay? This is in solidarity with Wall Street. Every day, we're going to be up and running. The writers of Roundtree7, that's the number 7.com, in solidarity with Occupy New York. Booyah, every damn day. Don't you love Liza, and isn't it true? If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. Mic check. The word is solidarity. And today is solidarity with very much with Occupy Los Angeles. If you're going on to OccupyTogether.org and you're watching the videos, oh my gosh, are you proud of Americans or what? I am. I know I am. So we're in solidarity every damn day here on Here Be Monsters, and it's sponsored by RoundTreeNumber7.com, the writers there. We are 99ers. We are with you in New York. We are with you in Boston. Booyah. Yesterday, 3,000 people in front of a Bank of America. A few people got arrested, and Huffington Post put it up as, oh, protesters in front of, they aren't getting it. This is a big message today is, you know, make the purchase. Go on to Amazon.com and spend $7, $8 or $9. It's no more than 10 to buy what's called a Guy Fawkes mask. You put that on backwards when you go grocery shopping, and people are going to say something. They're going to say, what the fuck? What are you doing with that on? And you can tell them, well, I'm in sympathy with Occupy New York. Oh, is this my MRF? We've got a caller we're going to take, bring somebody on to help me speak about it. And you have to turn off here. You have to lower your volume, Murph. You can't have your volume on when you're talking on the radio. But because I heard my echo. Is that you, Murphy?
Of course. I'm not a moron. It's down.
That's Murphy.
I was waiting for your dropkicks. Yeah, booyah yourself. Where's my dropkicks when you mentioned Boston?
Oh my God. No, don't you think that's a great idea? Because we really, you and I were talking before the show about how many people and just don't know what is actually going on across America now. And before you answer, I want to send love, big love, to the chat room and the people listening in, and to our own Tricia Poole or P.E. Nolan from Roundtree, Roundtree7.com. Hey, P.E., she is a New Yorker. She is down there in and out of it. And she is also, much like you, Murph, working with the children in the school all week long.
Oh, yes, a lovely profession.
Well, she happens to adore it as much as you do, actually. So you guys have a lot
in
common.
You know, it's the kids. The kids, it's all about the kids. The parents, a little different story, but it's all about the kids. Because they are our future.
Yeah, they are.
I'm not sure what kind of future we're handing them, but they're the future.
Well, you know what? When you see, all you have to do is go over there, right, and take a look at the videos that are up, and watch these, and it's not just kids. People ought to know. You know, it's not just the college kids who've paid
all this money out of their loans.
It's all creeds, colors, and ages. And I saw a group of grannies marching on New York PD. I thought, well,
how about the guys in the suits that lost their jobs? They came in suits. And I'm you know what?
Yeah.
More power to you, buddy. I hear you, because we are all just one step away from that. Just one step. If you are lucky enough to have a job right now, you are one step away from nothing.
That's right. That's absolutely right. You and I were both talking, too, before the show about something that just made us in Honey, you don't want to be close to last call with my friend Murph and I at the rail and
no,
do something like
absolutely
this.
Not.
And do something like this, what those SOBs did from the balcony in Wall Street, pouring champagne on protesters.
That made me nuts when I saw that, and I thought, my God, if I was there, thank God I wasn't there.
Oh, yeah.
I would have thrown something at them. I was incensed. How dare you? How dare you mock us? How dare you?
It's the let them eat cake tribe. That's
exactly
what it is.
Exactly.
It is the let them eat cake tribe. And the thing is, and you have a daughter, you have a brilliant daughter, who is actually in just going back to grad school and been through her 4 years, 5 years of school here, going on more. Brilliant child. Jennifer. And I have my nephew, George, who today will be playing against Chicago up there
Go George.
At Elmhurst. Yes, linebacker extraordinaire, Mr. Handsome. That would be George DeMaria III. Anyway, now that we've got our family moment. Yeah, right. and there you have the kids that are coming out of school. And I asked George when he was down here, and I'm sure you can tell me what Jen has had to say. Or as we all know her, the little Murphy. George told me that actually, because I asked him about his politics, he's getting his horizons broadened by the hour while he's in school. And he told me, I said, well, how the politics right now, what are the politics like? And he said, you know, Aunt Gwen, a lot of kids who are getting ready to graduate will claim that they're Republican just so they think they can get a job. And I said, what? I said, what?
All right.
That's Midwestern or something. What is that, you know? But it's the, hey, listen, time to shout out to, you know, what, just want to keep letting the people know that this is a solidarity broadcast. I thank you for being with me. It's Sister Murphy today. Hopefully our sister P.E. Nolan, Tricia Poole, will call in too, and after she gets rid of the mouthful of bagels. And,
I want a bagel.
A little locks, honey, a few capes. Let's go down to Wolfie's. That was an unsolicited commercial for Wolfie. You remember Wolfie's? Damn.
I do.
Anyways, we are in solidarity with the 99ers. This is what the show is about. We encourage you to call in, tell us, testify, tell us what's going on with you. Today we've got sort of a public school theme going on because I have my Murphy. I have my Murphy on. also part of Daughters of Isis, which is another sponsor here of this show, the Ancestor Aromacology. Am I right? Testify there. And this is a global revolution. It's being televised, live stream at Global Revolution, and I believe that's revolution.org. Livestream.com, Global Revolution. And it is right now, that feed is the most consistent and reliable feed. The feeds have been going down on some of the books. They actually got Alternet. You know the Alternet aggregator over online, Merch?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, they post articles and stuff. Well, they've donated some really good server equipment to Wall Street. And so the online servers for Wall Street are being upgraded between yesterday and today, I think. I watched all the, yeah, They're getting a lot of. We're going to try and put together a box full of little misters to send to them, and of course some raincoats and things like that. Which is another thing.
I have other
like
things I'd like to send them, but we can't say that on the air.
Well, take another hit of sweet air, honey. And
right.
Here we go. Send your supplies. Now, they can use what they can use over there. I want you to know, Wall Street, and you're going to hear this. I mean, I have watched, if you have not gone over to OccupyTogether.org and taken a look at the videos of people, you know, Murph, they have been actually occupying in the financial district, and it's a small group so far, but they're building in Chicago, in Chi-Town.
I saw that.
They made me cry. They made me cry. I'm so proud of them. But
the whole thing makes me cry. I'm so proud of Americans right now for finally standing up and saying enough, enough.
Absolutely, absolutely. What we are focusing on right now, and I will get more event where to send as they get more established. I am looking at, of course, our old haunt, Boston, booyah, and Occupy Boston, and Occupy LA begins today. Down here with Murph and I, there's going to be Occupy Tampa. There is an Occupy Miami. I don't know if one near
there
near
is
us.
An Occupy Miami.
There
I wish
is
we had one near us.
But you know, why can't we do an Occupy Boca Raton? I don't see why
okay.
we can't. Both CIA
because
anytime,
everybody's a
publisher, you
know? Over here. I don't know. Two pioneers, honey, will show up over here in my neck of the woods. Crazies.
Well, me too. I mean, we could throw our Occupy Bocia Editan and invite Colonel, what's his name, Colonel West to come on by and do some speaking, and then we can, you know, have our fun with him. Crackerville, you know, I got Rush Limbaugh's broadcasting 6 miles up the road here. But basically, they've asked today from Wall Street, and I will give the address of where to send. But in Wall Street, they need, they are in need of, and I'm getting to it, toothbrushes and toothpaste. That is a very big thing. Homeopathic arnica. If you can go on over and pick up a few of those little plastic blue vials of arnica, you know what I mean. What are they? Who's the company, Murph? You know better than I used to work.
Oh, yeah, Bio something.
Those.
Yeah.
They need that. They need the homeopathic arnica.
You
they
can
need
get it
melatonin.
From any, you know, whole food. Oh.
Well, they need melatonin because it's hard to sleep in the streets, people. And herbal painkillers. The medics there cannot be giving out ibuprofen or Tylenol. That just isn't, that's a no-go. So if you're going to go.
All right, well, let me just do a shout-out right now to my ex-student. Because he's graduated. His name is Anthony Jamas, and he is a medic in New York.
Uh-huh.
He's a student. He might, if he's 20 years old, that's a lot. You know, I'm saying maybe 19 or 20, and he is a medic on the streets of New York, and I give him so much credit. He's a good kid.
I want to do a shout out too because send love to Bob from Boston, the electrician who's come on down to help him. 102 Union out of Boston down there helping the folks do the electronics. They need big umbrellas too, and all the things that you can. Think of to send to them, and they would like more durable clothing, like if you have old raincoats or go buy for 50 cents a few. I know this takes time and effort, but listen, we're in it for the long haul. Grab some clothing, some durable clothing. We need some raincoats and such to be sent, and this is the address. You send it in care of, now you got to love Brown. the UPS store, and it's Occupy Wall Street, in care of Occupy Wall Street, and that's 118A Fulton Street, F-U-L-T-O-N, 118 Fulton Street, number 205, New York, New York, 10038. And I have New York on the phone. Your mic is open, 212-864.
Oh, that's me, baby.
Hey,
that's me.
Trisha.
Hi.
Meet Murphy.
Hi, Murphy.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
We took diapers and wipes down yesterday. They have a medic table, they have a food table, and they have a comfort table as well, or station, because they're sort of spread out on the, on the little walls around the gardens. And the folks that were manning the booths were just so, glad to get it. We took, trail mix and dried mangoes and things like that. It's really simple to just, jump on the subway and get down there with just one bag. Or, it's not so crowded that you can't get through. It's a little tricky to navigate because it is crowded. And as you say, it's not just college kids, although, it's heavily young. But, there's old people in wheelchairs. I took pictures. I haven't got that together yet, but I got it. And,
wow.
And there's even, people from Europe coming as tourists to check it out. So despite the mainstream media blackout, people know and that it's happening and are coming down to join. I know they were marching to one police plaza yesterday, and the place is crawling with cops, but nothing was out of hand or anything. And by that I mean the cops were not out of hand yesterday. So it was cool. It's not scary, and I'm a big chicken, and I went, and it's good, I am. But anyway, it was all good. I'm glad I went, and might go every Wednesday with a more bag of stuff. And I'm happy to say that some parents at my school, I had heard you, Murph, mention that the parents can be a little tricky, and they are. I work with two-year-olds, so there's always an abundance of diapers, and they're always happy to send a few spares down there. But, they need everything. They really just need everything, cold packs from first aid kits.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I would imagine.
All that kind of stuff. So that's what I'm doing, and hopefully, more people a few here and a few there, just fill up that grocery bag and off we go.
Hey, I have to tell you, what a wonderful job you're doing getting down there. So proud of you. And for all of you listening, Trisha Poole, or P.E. Nolan, Hernan de Plume, is one of the writers at Roundtree, 7, the number, .com, and also a contributor to Worldwide Hippie.
That's true.
.com. So I wanted to get your info out. She also posts a wonderful blog, and Murphy, you're going to love this, called Menopausal Stoners. And tell people what it's about.
Wow, that's neat.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of us out there, and I think the first thing I have to say is whether you're menopausal or manopausal, or just going to be that way someday or past it, when I first started it, I realized you don't have to be a stoner. You just have to feel the outrage. And I think that the common denominator among most of us, we may not have been old enough to be in the draft lottery and all of that, but our brothers were, and we remember the body bags, and we remember,
remember
10 years in Afghanistan for what,
Absolutely.
And I read today there's Marines are coming down to Wall Street today in their dress blues to protect the protesters.
Oh,
and so,
There you go. Listen, ladies, we have a question from the chat room, some of our folks here. This is Vorpalite. I don't know how to pronounce that, but a very, very good question. What are the protesters wanting to get out of this? And this is a big thing, the clarity of the issue. But I have to say back, you know, what's unclear? The corruption of Wall Street or the White House or the Congress and the buffoons that people it, is that unclear? The record poverty, the highest unemployment, how many decades? But here is a really wonderful list of things that are going to be addressed. And what the solutions to give to politicians or to the people are already being formulated for. And let's give a plug here to our brothers and sisters over at October 2011, Kevin and Dr. Flowers and Dennis Traynor and all of those folks that have been working so hard for the October 6th occupation of Freedom Plaza in Washington, D.C., and they put up, they stand with the majority of Americans for human needs and not corporate greed, and that's the basic overall of what is going on here. That is a, hey, get your headlights on issue, but tax the rich and corporations, end the wars, bring the troops home, cut military spending. We have to dismantle the industrial military machine that has taken over this country. There's no other, and this is the steps we are taking as the people to do it. Can I get a booyah?
Okay, booyah. Or earthaloo-yah. I'll say earthaloo-yah and stand with Reverend Billy on that.
Reverend Billy, who is on the live stream feed as some of the fill-in, you know. That was great to see. Protect the social safety net, strengthen Social Security, and improve Medicare for all. What we got with the health care bill was not coverage. What we got thrown at us basically comes down to giving insurance companies new ways to get customers, and that's about it as far as I can see. They want to take, you know, all of it, anything that they consider, and it's a Republicrat now. It is not Republicans and Democrats. It's Republicrats or Demopublicans or whatever you want to call it. And I've got my eye raised in scrutiny over any and every politician that I even used to think was integrative. I do no longer. You have to prove yourself anymore. That's how bad it has gotten. End the corporate welfare for all of the big oil and energy companies, and that means coal and all of these rotten industries, and we won't even go near the Gulf of Mexico issue because they're spraying Corexit right now again, and I'm in tears about it. So I can't do that till Anita comes on because then she can take over. But protect workers' rights, the unions, and collective bargaining, and create jobs and raise wages, and get the fucking money out of politics. Pull the engulf and devour crowd out of buying politicians and the lobbying that goes. You know, there's a good reason for lobbyists, but it has gotten all skewed, out of sorts. It is nothing but paid and bought for politicians. So that is the issue that they are addressing, and they do have solutions to offer. And if you go to these websites or you go to these protests, these occupations, you will hear that. I mean, they're even going to have workshops set up now to educate people on how to address the politicians to make these changes. You know, we simply have to begin to remove the bad government. We have to make that move. And
there
is the
issue. We have to take the power.
Yes.
You know, Gwen, one of the things that has happened recently, just in terms of helping solidify and clarify the message is that the Independent is putting together a paper called Occupy Wall Street Journal, the Occupy Wall Street Journal. They
wow.
were raising money on Kickstarter the other day. They got their funding, and we're going to do a run of 5,000, I think, print, four-page print documents that will be distributed. And you'll remember the other day Dusty was talking about how NPR was acting like the reason they hadn't covered it was because no intern showed up with a press kit in their office to tell them what they're supposed to say. And it seems like this Occupy Wall Street Journal will be fulfilling that need so that media outlets will have access to a soundbite, since it's like, if it can't be a soundbite, it's not real to the media. And,
right.
you know, 99% right. of the people in this country are fucking real, if you ask me. But, you know, there is, when you're dealing with corporate media that is corporate controlled by those same piggish bastards that were on the balcony, which is, that's my Roundtree post, if I can jump through a hoop and get it on there. But I'm learning the process over there. But anyway, the point is that I was really troubled by that video of those people. You know, and yeah, I mean, yeah, and I have to like say thank you for unleashing that inner demon that was there the other day. But anyhow, those people are funding the Tea Party. Those are the people that are bought the media, you know, and that's why it's hard to get on there. When I was there yesterday.
They're the bootlackies
There were people with cameras everywhere yesterday, TV cameras, nice setups, good filming. And I know that the efforts in D.C. next week will have a little more professional capabilities down there, instead of just people with grabbing their camera from home like it has been so far. Yesterday, the video quality, the equipment anywhere was good. Anyway, was good. There were more professional people. CNN even had a van there. I don't know that they'll do anything about it, but the point is, it's the Independent, and you know the Independent paper with a Y, and
right.
She's putting out Occupy Wall Street Journal. So look for it. I donated, so they'll be sending money straight to my – they'll be sending a copy straight to my personal mailbox via snail mail.
Well, if you could put that link up on Facebook in one of our rooms, that would be great too.
I'll find it because I linked it the other day, and I have a feeling our friend Manny is working on that somehow.
He is actually corresponding for them and writing for them and promoting for them. He was on last weekend the regular show on Sunday and promoting that. While I got a second here, I want to do a shout out into the room here. We have Progressive News Network has stepped into the room to give us some solidarity, and I want to send some love back out to Rick Spizak from Progressive News Network, and that's at New Mercury Media over on Blog Talk Radio. It will be on tomorrow, directly following Here Be Monsters at 7 p.m. So please be there. And perhaps Rick will call in and give himself a little commercial. He has been extraordinarily supportive. That's Progressive News Network. And while we're at it, we should probably do the drum line here, because they seem to be walking through the door. Big love out to our wild, wild left sister, Diane G, and she did a interview with Black Agenda writer Dixon yesterday on her show. It's not to be missed. You should hear it. That's the wild, wild left on Blog Talk Radio. And not to be missed, and ladies, stick with me here, but you know, we all, you can't get it all, But sometimes you can get what you need, and I want to listen to a friend of mine explain it. If I can just absolutely find the little piece of soundbite here that is just so cute, so good.
Well, this is the place you come to get what you need, because you can't always get what you want. But if you come see me, you just might find the gift you need. It's my time for venting, ranting, or rambling, bringing you up a whole lot of truthiness, now being served with 7% less vitriol. Oh, yes, 7% less, ladies and gentlemen, less vitriol.
And that would be our good friend, Late at Night from Reno, Nevada, part of this drum line, and that's Pink Golda Bear. And 561 area code, another. I'm thinking that I've got Progressive News Network on the line, do I?
Yes, indeed. Hey, Glenn, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Rick, it's good to hear you. Thank you for stopping in today.
It's my pleasure. You know, the good people there at Here Be Monsters, you guys do such a great job, and I have to salute the fine work that you're doing to get people aware of what's going on at Occupy Wall Street. Thank you so much. Thank you for all of us.
Oh, you're most welcome, and thank you for the job that you do. And please tell people when to find you and where to find you.
Okay. Let me just tell you a quick thing about Progressive News Network. One of the things that I and so many progressives are terribly aware of is that there's just not enough progressive news out there, that progressive voices aren't heard enough. There's just not enough good people like Gwen and Anita and all the fine people that make Here Be Monsters the wonderful place that it is. And all of those good progressive people that are doing hard work every day, their voices need to be heard. So the reason that Progressive News Network was started was because I have seen progressive people basically be shuttered out of what's called mainstream media or commercial media. Our voices just aren't there. So Progressive News Network, every Sunday at 7 p.m., and of course, these are all recorded, so you can podcast them any time of the day or night. Go to either Blog Talk Radio, or else you can go to newmercurymedia.com, newmercurymedia.com, and you can go to the Progressive News PNN page, or you can listen to Bard Talk Grove Show, the Bard Grove shows, which are storytelling hours. But Progressive News Network is live every Sunday, 7 to 8, right after the good people at Here Be Monsters. And Gwen, my hat is off to you. You're a marvelous broadcaster.
Awesome.
And if I could praise you one more way, you have not just a good progressive voice and speak truth about important progressive issues of the day, but also you bring a centering, a spirituality to this that, you know, is just so important. It really puts the right centering on important political stories, and thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, you know, the
wow, what a lovely endorsement, Gwen, huh?
Yeah, that's my buddy Rick. Listen, this is what we're talking about, though. This is exactly what we're talking about. Lend an ear.
My favorite part of looking at this whole, we got this whole $1 trillion on tax cuts for the rich under George Bush. We got into this whole $2 trillion on two wars that we put on a credit card for our children and grandchildren to pay off. And we got into this whole $1 trillion on a Medicare drug program that A, was not paid for, and B, is 40% more expensive than it needs to be because it was a giveaway to the drug company. So we just have, I mean, that's just $4 trillion right there. So part of the way you fix this problem is, like, don't do those things. I'm serious. I hear all this, you know, well, this is class warfare, this is whatever. No. There is nobody in this country who got rich on his own. Nobody. You built a factory out there, good for you, but I want to be clear, you moved your goods to market on the roads the rest of us paid for.
Yep.
You hired workers the rest of us paid to educate. You were safe in your factory. because of police forces and fire forces that the rest of us paid for. You didn't have to worry that marauding bands would come and seize everything at your factory and hire someone to protect against this because of the work the rest of us did. Now, look, you built a factory and it turned into something terrific or a great idea. God bless. Keep a big hunk of it. But part of the underlying social contract is you take a hunk of that and pay forward for the next kid who comes along.
She's good, isn't she?
Professor Warren, I'd like to see her in the White House. The Senate's just a good stepping stone, if you ask me.
And that's quite true. That's quite true. Murphy, did you ask who that was?
Pardon me?
Yeah, were you asking who that was?
Yeah.
Yeah, she is running for Scott Brown's seat for the Senate. You know, Ted Kennedy's old seat, her name is Elizabeth Warren.
May she win.
She's extraordinary. She's an extraordinary woman. Sure, Rick.
I was going to say, I'm not a big fan of contributing to political campaigns, but you know what? The day her campaign opened, I sent her money that day. This is an extraordinary person, a leader, a person who America needs desperately. No wonder she's a right-wing Kenyatta the day of her campaign's launch. They actually sent that loop around to say how terrible she is when everybody this side of the pillar behind is going, oh, my God, she actually cares about working people. She is a real American hero.
It's backfiring on them, and it's gone viral, as they say, all over the place with there's now a little poster with a gray background that quotes her with her face on it. That's all over Facebook and the Twitter feeds and that kind of thing. So it's sort of a genuine backfire on the Republicans who have gone a little bit far down the road. I mean, they're going to take the money away from everybody that they can while they've got the chance right now. It's like, in my mind, it's like watching watching somebody run full speed before they catch up with you and say, okay, you can't do this anymore. So all the Republicans are trying as hard as they can to get all the nastiness set into an anchor before they get thrown out of office because they know it's coming. That's the only thing I can think, you know?
Well, I hope you're right.
Have you ever heard of anything so fascist as to take away the heating oil from the elders and they're cutting programs?
No, that's insane. It's insane.
It is.
That's insane. What happened to us?
Yeah.
What's
happened to Americans that sit and provide an audience for these buffoons who stand up there and say that, you know, Wolf Blitzer saying, well, do you mean that if they don't have health care they should die, and they get yes and applause on that?
Well, you know what?
Crazy.
Those are the ones that are not going to have health care very soon because, come on, you know they're not in the 1%. And then they're going to be crying.
Well, yeah.
It's disgusting. It's just, it blows my mind. Where is the mentality? Is that backwards? I don't get it.
I don't understand. Has Bill Maher said, I think about 2 years ago on his show, he brought up the fact that the reason that the tea bag party and a lot of people, especially people who don't seem to be, and Bill can be a little, you know, a little cutting, well-educated, the reason that these folks are convinced that they should support the elitists is because they feel as though they have every chance in the world in the great country of America of winning the lottery and becoming over-rich
themselves.
Well,
when they don't, where are they going to go? When they don't, when they wake up and realize they're not any better than what we are, they're in the 99%, where are they going to go then?
Right. Well, and the idea, and the very idea that you are not going to roll up your sleeves and pitch in and create your world, where did that idea go? That is what the American dream actually is built on. Can I get a booyah from y'all? I mean, isn't it about being creative? Isn't it about following your dream to the point of, okay, I want to be a teacher, so I'm going to go to school, and if I have to pay my way through school or however, I'm going to do that. I mean, the concept that we do, you know, that the money is just going to, where did this, my mother used to have a saying, you tell me, did your mother say this to you, especially when you were in the ship, okay? Did your mom say to you, well, you think the world owes you a living, young lady?
Oh, my God. Right. Okay, so you grew up down here. I grew up in Connecticut. Same words.
Well, I think they learn it at mother school. They learn it at mother school.
Is that what it is?
My mother came to, I will never forget this. She had just turned 40 and came walking down the stairs and said, God came to me in the bathtub and said, I don't have to put up with this shit anymore. And she started laying into us three kids. And so, you know, for basically thinking that it just, things were going to be handed to us. And I think that, I think that when you grow up with a certain amount of privilege, you do get confused about working and money, you know, that there's a connection between the money to pay for things and your own efforts. We see that we see it a lot today, but I have to go back to, I believe that all this emphasis on standardized testing has created a disconnect so that kids and people, I mean, because it started with, I mean, they're 40, 45 years old now and still don't see connections because of the way the curriculum has been compartmentalized because of the test. And it's affected their ability to make connections and think critically.
Exactly. That test teaches nothing but how to take a test. Because I've read the tests. My son is in third grade. He's going through them now. You could actually pick any one of those answers. Because I looked at it and I thought, well, I read it. He picked one answer. I picked another. We both picked the wrong answer. And I'm like, wow, what are they looking for? What are they looking for? And it's all about how to take a test. And it's not about teaching kids about life. And this is the way it should be. And that's what's getting us. And my daughter, who's 22 and graduated from college in December, said to me, we are the lost generation. We are spending, my generation is spending thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars on our education, and we have no jobs when we get out. Where do we go?
No, but you're an indentured servant. You're an indentured servant to Sally Mae.
Yeah.
And the way they're writing it, you're an indentured servant. And those same fat fucks up on that balcony are the ones who are making money off our own children. What this is what the 1% has done to our children. And, the whole thing, like I know George Carlin said, you got to be asleep to believe the American dream. Okay. But the fact is that we did all think that our children would be a little better off than we were if we just played the game and did, but now everybody's savings are gone because of the 1%. We're not getting the interest we used to get because of our savings, because of the 1%. When I was down
we're not even getting the benefits from scholarships down here in Florida.
Because of the one, and I mean, you
that's
can take
right.
it back to Ronald fucking Reagan if you need to, but that's when,
you know. You know, folks, though, and I thank Rick for always reminding me of this, because not only does this chair sit in front of the studio board, it also sits in front of the bench. And as the blender or that metaphysician or, you know, the witch in the cowboy booth in South Florida has wants to say in all of this, perhaps we are meant to look within in a deeper way and finally get it and evolve. And the political process is the deep sea on this planet. And it mirrors our own environmental sea that is just totally dying. It's time to awaken, and it's body, mind, and spirit. It is that I am want to say to all of my brothers and sisters who are, do you know they're having flash mobs in at Wall Street of meditation? Is that the fucking coolest thing you ever heard of? They're having flash mobs of meditation. Well, yeah, that's where my brothers and sisters belong, out there with their sleeves rolled up and saying, what can I do to serve? What service can I be here? What can I do to help and get this down the road? And you know what? The ride in the mothership ain't coming. It's not coming. We are not going to shimmer into the fifth dimension here. We're going to roll up our sleeves. We're going to clean up our planet, and we're going to evolve. We're going to turn the rest of our brains on. She's got a soapbox out. You better get her off it.
All right. I think you've got it right, Gwen. I think you've got it right. You know, that remember just a few years back when the right was pushing this, compassionate conservatism? Well, that sure didn't last very long, did it? And it's
not a bit.
Completely.
I really don't think that's an oxymoron, compassionate conservatism. I don't get it.
Well, in the old days, conservatism meant respect for the environment, respect for the earth. I mean,
exactly.
When
my parents
were
older, they were always independent, and they would go wherever they felt they had to go. And they sometimes did Republican, much to my chagrin now. But back then, you're right, it was about respect. It was about just pulling back a little bit. Now it's about craziness. I don't even know where their heads are. How can you say the things you're saying?
Cruel. It's the cruelty. The cruelty is so obvious. It's being thrown in our faces. It's being, as I've heard Diane G say quite a few times recently, that she feels as though she is reawakening. And that her life is shifting in a great way. Yes, because this world is going through a paradigm shift. And we have this wonderful tool now to help us bring about this huge change that's going on right now. And it's our global consciousness. It's called the Internet. And it is our global consciousness. It does not mean that it's not all about body, mind, and spirit. And to all of my good friends and brothers and sisters who are atheists, that's fine, too. It's about body and mind, okay? You have to embrace the whole of it right now, because if you're missing this, and that I come back to the point that I started with, do you know how many people don't know this is happening? It's crazy how many Americans are unaware that there's a huge wave going across the land of the revolution, as they say. They're saying it very clearly.
Well,
the revolution.
I remember in the 60s and the 70s, the old saying used to be, which side are you on? And I think what we're seeing today is that same kind of division. It's not about us fighting 30 terrorists over in some cave someplace. We have to look at what our society is doing, where our society's values are. And I think more informed people, despite the fact that they'd rather not look, they'd rather not pay attention to politics, they'd rather not be involved in economic discussions. But you know what? Their choices are being removed. They have to decide, do they want to support the rich few, or do they really need to understand that we are all in this together?
Yeah.
I agree with you. That was a beautiful statement. I agree with you.
Thank you.
You know, we're all one. We need to all come together as one and realize, who are you in the 1%, Gwen? I know it's sure shit I'm not. I'm not even close.
I've probably been in a room somewhere at some time with the 1%, but I certainly have never been there. And while I was born into a family from upstate New York that was considered one of the 400 of the area in Rochester, and I still to this day am responsible for large family structures.
Can you mute that for a minute?
With the state and such. I've got you on live, Diane.
At least you didn't say shit, Diane, okay?
I'm yelling at my kid on hold. I'm sorry.
I was raised to absolutely understand, like Elizabeth Warren said, my father's family would say, this community is responsible for whatever privilege you may have. So you have a responsibility to this community to give back with a open, happy heart. I mean, that's the way I was raised. And the people who are now at that 1% tier, not every millionaire or billionaire is a bastard. Not everyone who's made gobs of money is wanting to hold on to it in the back room and count it all night while they're pulling their, okay, I went too far.
No. I'd finish it for you, but no.
Let me just
tell you. But, I don't know what you people are talking about. Because, seriously, I have been part of the 1% for so long. In fact, probably part of the 10th of 1%. In this country for so long that sometimes the rest of the nation doesn't even exist for me. And here's how. Because I have been on the far cusp edges of the left predicting all of this for so long when I was out there where the buses don't run on the edge going during the Bush years. Actually, before the Bush years, I was going, well, you know what? The center can't hold. If they keep extracting all the riches, killing the unions, making us earn less, making us pay more, outsourcing, and while we keep exploiting the rest of the planet, this is going to fall. And I was laughed off nearly every so-called liberal site and marginalized. And golly, it's good to finally be part of maybe the 99% that are joining me.
There you go, honey.
You're not laughing at me now, honey.
We need to be pulling everybody into our 1% and screwing that evil 1%. We're the good 1%. Amen.
There you go. My suggestion is, and Murphy and I were speaking about this earlier, and I've taken to when I go to the grocery store, whatever now, and this is just the last, 40 hours. They put the Guy Fawkes mask on backwards so people will say, what is that about? Make the purchase from Amazon. You can get them, and there's you can get them off of, there's actually little tags on certain non-op sites. But it's less than $10. Get yourself a mask. You might have them. They might be in your party store near you. But put it on. Put it on
Halloween. Go to Halloween USA.
There you go. And put it on backwards. And there you become another symbol right there. And get yourself through the store when people say, hey, do you mind if I ask you why you're wearing that? Hey, do you mind if I ask you what that's about? Hey, why do you wear that? Anytime anybody approaches you, you have the opportunity to tell one more person, to say, go online, take a look at this. It's real easy to find. Did you know that there's so many thousand people that have been there now for over 2 weeks in Wall Street at Wall and Liberty, and why they're there? And tell them, you know, it's about, and all you have to do is say this, it's about people's needs over corporate greed. And I'll guarantee you, anybody you say that to out in public right now is going to say, oh, they're going to get it. And maybe they'll go find out, but it brings the message out there clear. It's just a suggestion. And, I don't know if in the state of Florida now, which is about as bad as the state of Diane's state, Michigan's scary. Michigan's Republican scary is what Michigan is. It's Republican scary. They've actually taken away people's rights to have the government that they elected into office.
What?
Govern them.
Indeed. Wow. Indeed. What's happened is they can come in and declare a city emergency. If they don't think, if there's financial stress on the city or if they think it's being managed improperly, and Rick Snyder can appoint whoever he chooses, always a crony of his, a far right-wing Tea Partying bastard, to take over the city's finances and services, and then they subcontract all these services out from the city employees. Let's say you have city garbage collectors and or city snow removal or firefighters or whatever, and they subcontract it out to private industries and take the city's taxes and pay their private buddies to do so. This can last years, and you are not allowed to have another election. But what you don't, you know, this, because our economy is so bad and the Republicans were so very successful in going, Debbie Stabenow, Democrat, her fault, blah, 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 not understanding that, you know, she had inherited 12 years of her predecessor's debt, they bought into it and hired Snyder. Now, Michigan, you know, and Detroit are very staunchly union, democratic. There's a very strong recall. This is in Arizona. There's a very strong recall program happening, of which I'd sign, you know, the petition and bring people over to the house in our neighborhood that's funding it. But it is frightening. But there's going to be backlash.
And on that point, I'd just like to play this. You guys have probably heard it, but maybe our listeners haven't. And I've got like 3 minutes I want you all to listen to and then comment on.
I have good news for you all. Occupy Wall Street. The cavalry is coming. I'm actually very excited by this, as you can tell. The Transit Workers Union Local 100's Executive Committee has decided unanimously they will be supporting the Occupy Wall Street movement. Here come the unions. But they're not the only ones. Are you ready for this? A union-backed organization that has a coalition of the different unions in New York is planning a rally on October 5th to help the Occupy Wall Street movement. Furthermore, the SEIU 32BJ, which represents doormen, security guards, maintenance workers, are planning an October 12th rally to support Occupy Wall Street. Here comes the cavalry! Look, the reason I love this, among others, is that when they began, no one believed, especially in the mainstream media. A bunch of kids going to protest Wall Street. All my rich friends say they love Wall Street. Why would anybody want to join them? Well, that's because the rest of the country knows that Wall Street robbed us. And if you stuck in there and you stuck to your guns and your principles, and, you know, through literally rain and sleet, etc., you hung in there, at some point people turn around and go, you know what, those guys are right. And we got to go back them up. It gets better. Right now, the Postal Workers Union, the New York Metro Area Postal Union, and SEIU 1199 are also considering joining the movement. Part of the reason for that is that the postal workers are having trouble on their own. They were doing a rally, and here comes 100 protesters from the Occupy Wall Street movement, etc., that come and join the protest, and they come with drums. They're like, here we go. Let's get it on. There you go. Here we go. Here we go. bring it, right? And you know what? The postal workers were like, hey.
Major labor leader to lend support to the Occupy movement, John Samuelson, president of Local 100 of the Transport Workers Union. John, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Why is the TWU getting involved?
Well, I believe to a large extent the protesters on Wall Street are singing the same song and fighting the same battle that our union has fought for the last 18 months. Basically, that working families in New York State are definitely getting shafted while the wealthiest folks in New York State are getting a tax break.
What have your members been thinking as the protests have developed?
Well, the protests in the greater context of the protest are that New York State has just eliminated a tax on the wealthiest folks in the state while working people are truly suffering. If you make $1 million a year, you're bringing home an extra $408 a week under the eliminated millionaire's tax. We have a lot of folks in New York City that aren't even making $408 a week to take care of their families. So in many ways, the protest on Wall Street resonates with the working folks in our union who run the system in New York City.
I know that earlier you were checking in with some of your fellow union members to see how things were going. Any rough estimate as to how many members of your union took part in the protest today?
We have a couple of hundred members down there. The executive board voted to endorse the movement just about a day and a half ago. So as time progresses, we're going to have a more organized presence and a more coordinated presence. But certainly members did turn out today, and they do feel a sense of solidarity with the protesters on Wall Street.
What about in other cities? Will TWU members?
I just love that union boss. He was on
Pete
Silberman last night.
And you know,
there's something about listening to I saw a little clip, and I couldn't find it in the YouTubes. There was a little blurb from the guy who's AFL-CIO head. Is that Hoffa?
Hoffa Jr., yes.
Yeah, he basically, is that Jimmy Hoffa's son? I mean, I hate to be ignorant, but is that Jimmy Hoffa's son? Oh, my effing God, you are kidding me. Now, that's just, boy, that's first derby. That is longevity, man. He basically did a blurb that was, we're with him and we're talking to him. You know, we'll get back to you kind of thing. And just so that folks know, after playing these clips and stuff, please go over to, and it's easy to remember, OccupyTogether.org, and you can find all of the feeds to the different, all of the different Global Revolution live feeds. And that's what they're calling it, Global Revolution. That's the live feed. It's the most reliable, too. Please be aware that they are, they're upgrading their equipment right now on Wall Street. So it goes up and down. It goes up and down. Diane G., thank you so much for stopping in and giving some solidarity over, being part of the drum line. She has to go get off at an event, probably baseball or something. Moms are the hardest working. Moms are the hardest workers.
Bye-bye. Thanks for everything. You have a good work.
Okay. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
It's Progressive, and Rick's show is Progressive News Network, and it follows us here on Sundays at 7 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. You can also find it at newmercurymedia.com or .blogspot.com, I believe, but just Google it, and you will find it. And I've still got Tricia Poole and Emma Murphy on with me. Ladies, you here?
Yes.
You know, and I was listening to I was listening to the clips that you were playing and reminded of myself with the unions. I was down. We also marched on Wall Street on May 12th. The UFT was there, a lot of the same unions that will be coming down to Wall Street on the 5th. And, you know, I think that Like you say, a lot of times people are just not even aware of the different demonstrations going on, and it does take a long time to mobilize an organization as big as a union to, you know, just like get it out there. But on my12.org was reaching out to all the different organizations within the city that were participating in that effort down, and that was like the Coalition for the Homeless. There was some folks that were involved with immigration, and so like that union boss from the TWA, was that the transit workers, was saying,
yeah,
the struggle of the 99%, it's their struggle too. It's all of our struggle to, you know, so that we all are one paycheck away from God only knows what. You know, and lose your benefits and lose your life is practically the way it is in this country today if you don't have health insurance, because of the death rates among people that don't have insurance are substantially higher. So anyway, it's I'm delighted the unions are coming out in solidarity, and you know, and it's the other thing that came to mind while I was down there yesterday was you know, years ago when there was stewardship within the companies and things, you know, after the Eisenhower era, we were growing. The United States was nurturing and supporting the middle class for a long time.
Yeah.
And the middle class provided a big buffer between the 1% and the poor. And
yeah,
the way the middle class has been crushed and dwindled, so it's virtually non-existent, the boundaries between the wealthy and the poor due to income inequities, it's like the veil between the underworld and the real, like at Halloween, you know how thin the protection is
the veil
between us and the other world.
Bowing, yeah.
Exactly.
But it's your
Tom Hanks is coming up. You know,
it's
coming up.
It's,
you know, yeah,
Samhain.
But it's Samhain. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm from Texas. It's Samhain. You know, but anyway, the point is the boundary is thin. The boundary
is thin now
between us
is.
And them.
And you know, that's a great, that is the veils grow thinner as we get closer to Samhain, which is an astronomical occurrence. In alignment with the Earth, it's a cross quarter day, but it's also the ancient Celtic ceremony that turns and thanks the Earth and the Earth Mother for all of the bounties of the harvest, of course, plus welcoming back for the winter and for guidance. The spirit of our ancestors, those who came before us, our mothers' mothers and our fathers' fathers. And I think that when all of us begin to realize just how much our ancestors, and especially the indigenous cultures and communities of this planet, are reaching back to us right now and saying, stop, take a look, see what's happening. You know, it's like that Buffalo Springfield song. Stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. I mean, this is the time of the year, as Tricia brings up, that our ancestors are reaching back out through to us, and they are saying in ever louder unison, you know, hey, what's happening here? And the indigenous communities like the Hopi and the Maya and the Maori and all of the different communities and the grandmother and grandfather councils that have formed and are traveling around the world now saying, please, please stop killing our Earth Mother and our environment and get yourselves right. They need to be listened to, especially now.
I agree.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Trish.
Well, I was just thinking, when you mentioned Buffalo Springfield, it reminded me that yesterday I was down there also thinking about Chicago, when Graham Nash was singing, you know, please come to Chicago just to sing. But it's like, won't you please come down to Wall Street just to sing? In a land that's known as freedom, how can such a thing be fair? Won't you please come down to Wall Street or Main Street or every street in your city?
Yeah.
Just like we did in Chicago in 1968 with Mayor Daley. Only this time our brother's not bound and gagged. They're squirting little girls with mace.
Testify. That is absolutely true. It is absolutely true. What people, like I said, when you go out, anybody who is listening in or listens in the archives that hasn't called in, and please call in, give us a ring. If you want a good idea of how to get this information out there, I mean, more and more people are going to become aware because the mass media can, or the major media, the MSM, cannot ignore it any longer. It's bleeding into the feeds. But it's bleeding into the feeds like, a bunch of kids are getting together and that's it. And some people got arrested in New York. I mean, have you seen what they're actually putting on major network for, you know, it's not telling the real story, of course, and it's not really giving the kind of attention to it that it really deserves. But once I think that Freedom Plaza becomes occupied in Washington, D.C., and I got to ask you, Trish, Murphy, I don't know if you guys saw, but Keith Olbermann on Thursday night had Bernie Sanders on, Senator Sanders.
I saw that,
and he asked him if he was going to go down and be with the people at October 2011, you know, go down and get with them. And it was the first time I've ever seen Sanders hesitate. That made me feel bad. It made me feel really bad. We'll see. We will see. Bernie Sanders has got to be the hero of the day. You know what I'm saying? He has always been straight up. And I don't know how many of you saw Maxine Waters on Olbermann the other night. She is the head of the Black. She's a congresswoman from, I think she's California, and she is the head of the Black.
She's outstanding.
This is somebody, I have a very deep feeling with her that this is a stand-up lady, that she's not so much a pay-to-go or play-to-pay or anything like that. I think she's genuine. She knows how the system works, but I think she's at the point of, this is just too much, you know. Can you imagine being a African-American congresswoman with a reputation and standing in the government itself as an African-American, and then having the first African-American president elected, and come to the point just prior to his kickoff for a reelection campaign, and you can see in her eyes, she's like, oh, dear God, how am I going to deal? She doesn't approve of what he's doing. She doesn't approve of his policies. She is saying, hey, wait a minute, It's a hard thing to watch people be apologists for this president. I worked very hard for him. I don't know how hard y'all worked. Murph worked.
Worked the hardest. I'm sorry.
Well,
we were out here.
I don't know how hard Trish worked.
Not particularly. I have to say I didn't work particularly hard for Obama, but I was. I did my part. I sent some money and I voted for him and that kind of stuff. But just any other, you know, I don't know, just pedestrian Democrat I was. But,
yo-yos. I was one of the campaigners.
Glenn was a crazy woman.
But I was hopeful like everybody else, you know, and there were tears in my eyes as he walked up the steps you know, evoked Martin Luther King as much as he could. And then, you know, and then he's Cornel West, as you know, spoken spectacularly about the way, you know,
yeah.
everything
yeah.
sort of went south from after he got down off them stairs. But, you know,
it's
I believed in incremental progress during the healthcare debate. I was still hopeful, but, you know, what
me
happened
too.
In the Gulf just sort of sealed it for me. And
yeah.
He's no steward. And back in the day, you know, when the Rockefeller Republicans and stuff were around, I mean, those Republicans were still philanthropists, and they were stewards, you
That's
know. And
right.
a lot of those guys were involved in the original Sierra Club and all of that stuff. They were stewards.
That's my mother's,
no more.
That's my mother's crowd, yeah.
You know, yeah, they're oil and gas guys raping and pillaging. There's dumb as any wildcatters down in Texas back in the day. And, you know, they're not taking care of things. And so anyway.
It's just gotten so far away. I got a little piece to play. My good friend, the famous TLH, Tracy Hall, who is a local, she was Obama's teleprompter in the state of Florida. She gopher prompter, yay. And she turned me on to this writer because I'd been so busy with other things. I had gotten away from the gonzo writers over at Rolling Stone for a while. And she got me back by handing me a copy of Rolling Stone. And I read this by this writer, who's I'm going to play a clip of him.
What is seldom known, and to the credit of this network, was begun to be reported on here on Vanguard in 2006,
mm-hmm.
was that those Tahrir Square demonstrations started with 50, 60 people just saying,
right.
we want things to be better.
Right.
So is there in fact some reason for them to believe that this is the root of something? Has the last week and a half suggested that they actually grew something there in that time?
You know what, I think so. I mean, I thought about this a lot.
Yeah, sure.
Obviously, you know, it's not 100,000 extremely desperate people chewing through brick walls with their teeth. You know, it's 1,000 college students having a sleep-in right now. But the reality is that there's a lot of real anger out there, and their movement is growing organically, I think, just because people know that there's something to protest now, and they're coming out, and all these people are distressed, and there is enough real distress and desperation out there that this could transform into a real movement where there's enough really angry people to scare people in power.
And of all people, you would know that they didn't just pick something at random, like saying, we don't like cobblestone streets downtown,
right.
that's the cause of every American problem. There is so much wrong with Wall Street, and as you wrote, any movement against Wall Street corruption will have to involve some very elaborate organization.
Right.
Is this something that could conceivably grow into that, or merely an inspiration for something else that might grow into
that? Well, I think that what this could do is that it could provide the political support for those activists who are trying to change very specific
mm-hmm.
things about how Wall Street operates. Obviously, this is a crowd that doesn't know a whole lot about how, for instance, the derivatives market works. But there's enough anger out there that people who are trying to reform the derivatives market could point and say, look, there are protests out there. We need to do something because the public won't take it anymore.
I don't want to pat everybody on the back here too much, but we were essentially the first people to do this on national television at
sure.
any length in the context of a news program. And it seems to have been some pickup. But what are people covering, and you know, is the message being delivered by the media? Is it being thwarted by the media? Do you have any perception of that?
You know, I covered a lot of Tea Party events in the early going, and I, you know, it seems like every time there was a decent-sized event, there were always live trucks everywhere. And,
a loud cough.
Exactly. And this one, you know, there are a few reporters. There's a setup there for the media, but it's not anywhere near the numbers, you know, you saw on the other side.
You made the reference, I've done it before, you're the expert on it, not me. If those were Tea Party protesters in Wall Street for the last week and a half, complaining about welfare, complaining about stimulus packages, demanding the ouster of Ben Bernanke, what kind of coverage would that get, do you think?
I think it would get a lot of coverage, but interestingly, there are some Tea Partiers there. I mean,
yeah.
there are Ron Paul supporters there in some numbers, and you know they're being ignored too. So I think that's worth pointing out.
Or maybe there just aren't enough funny hats.
Right.
That was Matt Taibbi. I mean, if you want to know what's
Matt.
Going on, you read Matt Taibbi. And if Matt Taibbi said this is the shit, I think we can take it for granted that this is the shit. And it should be noted that Keith Olbermann He's telling the truth. He came back from the third day into it. He came back from vacation. First story was Occupy Wall Street. It wasn't covered by any of it. And the next person who tells me, I was surprised I didn't see it on Ed Schultz, or, you know, if I see, I can't say what I'm thinking about my gal friend there, who gets so much coverage now. But Rachel Maddow is a huge sellout at this point. Chris Hayes, I'm so surprised. I'm so shocked at what they don't
even know. I'm surprised at Rachel Maddow. I am.
Yeah.
I'm very disappointed. You know, I mean, talk.
Hey, she's her fan base, her original fan base out of Air America with Doc Maddow and the whole crowd. I mean, even including my kid's sister, they've left the building. They have definitely. I will watch Maddow because I know she's going to cover things that are not covered and I need to know about. But I no longer await her analysis of it because I'm not so sure where her analysis is coming from. It's like, you know, when you have to watch somebody go down on corporate like that. And I know what I just said. She's been absolutely drinking the Kool-Aid, and I hope I get people yelling at me about it because it will bring the awareness.
No, Glenn,
she's
drinking the Kool-Aid. Come on.
Yeah,
she should have been covering this.
She's in a position like she is, she's mixing the fucking Kool-Aid for everybody else to drink because she has the amount of audience that can make a fucking difference.
Yeah,
you know,
Shame on her for not being down there in the street where people would say, my God, it's Rachel Maddow. They would welcome her with open arms.
I mean, remember what she was up in bars in Alaska, you know, chasing down people. I mean, she could, maybe not ever since, you know, what went down at MSN, you know, the whole thing with the corporate when Keith left and all of that. But, you know, I think that this one, if there were any doubts among the left all media is corporate media, mainstream media, all mainstream is corporate, even Rachel Maddow, we can no longer deny that.
That's why you're hearing these organizers and people who are in the know, people like one of my heroes, Michael Moore, telling you, you know, hey, you are the media. We have to depend on you. You are the media. And that's why we're up every day, every damn day, as long as it takes, to be in solidarity and to bring information, which here I want to give out what I can of the information right quick again on websites to go to get more. Live feeds and such, please just go on over to occupytogether.org. That's occupytogether.org. You're going to find a great deal of information, many links, and the live stream to not just Occupation Wall Street now, but also to Occupation LA, Occupation Boston, Occupation, what is the other large one that's getting San Francisco. If you go over there, you're going to find, and also please, sending the big love to Occupy Tampa and our folks up there. There is an Occupy Miami planned. I have no knowledge of that one. I'm trying to find people who are going to be involved in that one. Probably find information on that listening to Progressive News Network on BTR here. Rick and Mickey will probably ferret that one out. I have no doubt. There's also an Occupy Orlando. And I'm having global or browser problems here getting onto Occupy Occupy Together, that means people are probably overriding the site, getting on and taking a look at it. I've seen that the site will go down for a few seconds and then pop right back up. Have you got, have you seen that, Tricia?
Which site is that?
Occupy Together, the larger one.
Occupy, you know, I tend to go to OccupyWallST.org, but let me just go over to Occupy, because I went over to my computer. Let's see, Occupy, there they go.
Can you read off the ones that are starting
today? Occupy Together. Okay, where do you want me to go here? Because it came up.
Okay, well, if you see, do you see any notices? I know Occupy Los Angeles is beginning today. Booyah. Send them energy, good energy, lots of light, lots of love, lots of success, and no arrests.
So far, so good. For more information about us, and then, like, check on the FAQ. Okay, I'm going to the FAQ. That's not it. It's got Midwest. I mean, they've got, are you talking about where it's got, well, they've broken them down into regions now. There are so many Occupy Together sites across the country.
Why don't you start at the top of the list and just
all right, well, it starts
okay,
Midwest. Okay, Midwest. Chicago. Cincinnati, Cleveland, Columbia, Missouri, Columbus, Indiana, Columbus, Ohio, Evansville, Indiana, Indianapolis, Joplin, Missouri, Kansas City, Michigan, Minnesota, Oklahoma, Kansas City, Omaha, Stillwater, Toledo, Tulsa, Youngstown, then Northeast, Albany, Allentown, Pennsylvania, Binghamton, Boston, D.C., Harrisburg, Hartford, Connecticut, Huntington, West Virginia, Ithaca, New Haven, New Jersey, Norfolk, Virginia, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Providence, Rochester, Utica, Wheeling, West Virginia, on to the southeast, Asheville, Atlanta, Birmingham, Alabama, Charlotte, Clarksville, Tennessee, Columbia, South Carolina, Columbus, Georgia, Daytona Beach, Durham, Florence, South Carolina, Greensboro, Jacksonville, Knoxville, Lexington, Louisville, Memphis, Miami, Nashville, New Orleans, Orlando, Pensacola, Raleigh, North Carolina, Richmond, Virginia, Sarasota, Tallahassee, Tampa, and Winston-Salem, Southwest, Albuquerque, Austin, Dallas, El Paso, Houston, McAllen, Phoenix, San Antonio, Santa Fe, and Tucson. In the West, Ashland, Oregon, Boise, Chico, California, Colorado Springs, Denver, Eugene, Las Vegas, Long Beach, Los Angeles, Napa, Olympia, Portland, Riverside, Sacramento. You know what? Okay, hold on. I'll get it back. You know how on the Mac, like, you barely touch it and the whole page goes flying? Anyway, Salt Lake, San Diego, San Francisco, San Jose, Santa Cruz, Seattle, Spokane, Ventura, International, Adelaide, Brisbane, Cologne, Cork, somewhere I can't even say, Finland, Frankfurt, Germany, Hamburg, Germany, Manchester, March on the Tory Party, Melbourne, Australia, Montreal, Norfolk, UK, and Norwich, and Nova Scotia, Perth, Stockholm, Sydney, the London Stock Exchange, there's a booyah, the Toronto Market Exchange, Tijuana, and Vancouver. So anyway,
wow.
I'd say it's a global happening, baby.
Movement. That I don't know what is movement. You know,
but you know, Matt Taibbi's right. You know, it's like, okay, I don't know what legislation is being, you know, to try to regulate the derivative markets, for example. I know the derivatives suck and they're a big part of the problem, okay,
right.
But I don't know because, like, what? I can barely, you know, I'm still trying to pay my bills at the end of the month. There's no derivatives in my future unless they're fucking me, but that's all I know. Matt Taibbi's right in that they can point out the window now and see those people with drums saying, you know, we are the 99%, and it makes an impact. My old buddy Woody Konopelli, you know, Konopak, Dr. Woody, Walden
Dr.
Font,
Woody. Dr.
Woody,
yeah.
Yeah.
To get him to
Woody
call
always
in.
Says, okay, well, you know what? He will. But anyway, the point is, he always says that the problem with the oligarchs today is that they can't remember the sound of the guillotine. Boom.
Yeah.
And those, you know, they can't remember. That let them eat cake party they had sure does not remember anything about the guillotine. They were not listening in history class.
Oh,
and
no.
You know, so anyway, that's what, you know, when you see an angry mob, you know, when you see the angry mob, maybe they'll, you know, get a soundbite from the guillotine. Because that's what happens.
I like that. I need to go find a guillotine soundbite to use.
I've wanted to do a menopausal stoners militia, you know, and dress up like in something out of Rent or, you know, one of those Broadway shows with the outfits and just have a little mini guillotine and pull it on down there to Wall Street. But I don't have that kind of arts and crafts skills, you know. Yeah,
I think it's a great idea. I think,
it's a performance piece, huh?
I think the other important, or not important, but I think the other interesting side of this is you saw Susan Sarandon came down and said, "What are you all about?" And she ended up, you know, she's showing her solidarity for it, and you can bet she's probably going to show up again. But it's going to be interesting to see who shows up. In other words, people with faces that other people know, that the world knows. Who's going to stand up? I mean, you got... remember Leonardo DiCaprio's Earth First, or whatever the name of his film was, a wonderful film about the Earth and about climate or global change. And that asks the question one more time, too, again, a recurring question when events are occurring like BP and the Gulf, where is our knight in shining white ex-Vice President Gore? Wouldn't you just love to see him go down and do a mic check at Wall Street? You know?
I would love to see Al Gore.
Say what, lady?
Well, go, Marv.
I said he's too much of a pussy. Sorry. He's been taking a backseat to everything that's been going on in the Gulf. Where is he? Where is he now?
Yeah, it's true. You've got to wonder where he is. What were you going to say, Trish?
Well, no, he's not the jolly green giant like he used to, you know, likes to do, you know. He's. I mean, that's what I always think of. There goes Al Gore, the jolly green giant. And I had a crush on Al Gore before, you know. But, he's not in... Yeah, you know, he's. I don't even know if he's up at Columbia. He was teaching at Columbia, but sometimes you had to come out of the ivory tower, man.
Here's the other thing to bring up one more time here. I know that some of our brothers and sisters involved in this are extraordinarily. I mean, there's nothing wrong really with socialism. We've all been living with socialism in this country for however long before the WPA really. But the thing is that there is nothing wrong with making honest money. It's the responsible nature of it. And I found a clip that I wanted to use to break up the monotony and make people smile and remember that there can be some fun about it, too. So I'm going to play it here. It's one of the ones I like to...
Rod, Jerry Maguire, how you doing?
Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, how you doing?
How am I doing? I'll tell you how I'm doing. I'm sweating, dude. I'm sweating my contract. I'm sweating Bob Sugar calling me, telling me I'm missing the big endorsements by being with you.
That's how I'm doing. I'm sweating.
Listen, I hear what you're saying, and that's why I'm calling.
No. I hear that you hear what I'm saying, but do you truly hear what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying, Daddy.
I think maybe the best thing is that we get together in person. Rod, I'm sorry. Would you mind holding?
Hold
I just up. Got someone.
Didn't you tell my wife more personal attention?
Did you not tell my wife more personal attention?
I said more personal attention.
Good, because we just getting started on my list of things you need to know.
You can take notes if you want to.
I will kill for you. I will maim for you. I will rape and pillage for you.
I am a valuable commodity. I go across the middle. I see a dude coming at me, trying to kill me. I tell myself, get killed. Catch the ball. Booyah. Touchdown.
Yeah.
I make miracles happen.
I just need to know, are you in or are you out?
I'm from Arizona, Jerry. I broke Arizona records.
Rod.
I went to Arizona State.
Rod.
I'm a sun devil, man.
And now you want Arizona dollars.
Exactly.
I understand what you're saying,
Jerry, I'm
Rod.
Sitting here with an ant problem. I got ants going up and down my hallway.
My brother TP's
room is flooded with water. Look at it.
Rod.
We got a flood in TP's room, Jerry. Hang on. Say hello to Jerry Maguire.
Rod, listen.
Hello, Brother Maguire.
Hello, TP.
Jerry, my house is falling apart. Nobody's looking out for Rod Tidwell. We don't know where we're going to live in a year. And I'm supposed to be a superstar, man.
Rod, I need a decision from you. Are you in or are you out?
And you're going to be so happy you stayed with Bob Sugar. Because I am the fucking Terminator.
Man.
I am a role model, Jerry. I have a family to support. Hear me? I want to stay in Arizona. I want my new contract.
But I like you. Yes, I like you, Jerry.
My wife likes you. You're good to my wife. I will stay with you.
That's great. I'm very happy.
Are you listening?
Yes.
That's what I'm going to do for you. God bless you, Jerry. But this is what you're going to do for me. You listen? Jerry?
Yeah, what can I do for you, Rod? You just tell me, what can I do for you?
It's a very personal, very important thing. Hell, it's a family motto.
Are you ready, Jerry?
I'm ready.
Just want to make sure you're ready, brother. Here it is. Show me the money. Money! Jerry, does that make you feel good just to say that? Say it with me one time, Jerry.
Show you the money.
Oh, no, you can do better than that, Jerry. I want you to say it with you with meaning, brother. Hey, I got Bob Sugar on the other line. I better hear you say it.
Yeah, no. Show you the money.
That's not show you. Show me the money.
Show me the money.
Yeah. Louder.
Show me the money.
That's it, brother, but you got to yell that shit.
Show me the money.
I need to feel you, Jerry.
Show me the money.
Jerry, you better yell. Show me the money. Congratulations, you're still my agent.
And send me the money, okay?
Here's the thing. It reminds me, once again, of those guys on the balcony, those traders with their champagne. And it's like, you know, who's going to be in what position soon? You can't fight the avalanche. And the show me the money energy is about show me the care, show me the concern, show me the respect. There, it's like Trish was saying, we need to carry some little Madame Defage tourist toys down there of teeny little guillotines. Can you imagine looking over the balcony and seeing a bunch of people sitting on the ground playing with their little guillotines and smiling up at them? I mean,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Slice a tomato. Funk. Throw it at
him. that would have been
good.
I know.
That's why they kept me a housewife, baby. Stay home with babies, girl. Don't let her down to Wall Street with tomatoes. That's why.
No,
but you know, I have to say, you know, we are indoctrinating. You know, I know the teabaggers were afraid that teachers were indoctrinating the children to be socialists. And all I can say is, you know what Pete Seeger used to sing? Inch by inch, row by row. Inch by inch, motherfuckers, we will get them.
Yep.
And if that means we have to start with the babies to let them know this is how we act. We don't act like those people. This is how we act. We clean up after ourselves. We are good stewards. That's what we do.
There you go.
So,
amen.
There you go.
Inch by inch, motherfuckers.
Well, and here's what I listened to someone saying to me last night and this morning, that basically, you know, well, some folks aren't there yet. Some folks are still trying to figure out. And, you know, any good chess player knows that, you know, it's the person on the fence, the undecided, that gets shot down first. That's the first piece to get knocked off the board. So, you know, it boils down to, as they're all singing right now, which side are you on? And are you part of the 99%ers, or are you in sympathy or delusion with, you know, teabagging 1%? You know,
delusion is the best word you can use right now, because they are in delusion. You know they are not in the 1%. You know they're not. You're the first ones to go out there and cry, oh, Social Security and everything. But you know what? If we grab that away, and that's what they're preaching, then where you are? Where are you then? You know, they don't get that, what they're preaching, and if it is taken away, they are affected just like we are. They're not getting it. They are delusional. Delusional.
They are delusional. That's it. Mic check. Mic check.
Yeah,
that's
mic check.
It's an eloquent thing that they're doing down there at Wall Street with everybody who comes, because they can't have the
no,
the
and it's really cool when you're standing there. It's cool the way that the sound just comes like back at you, and it becomes this. You know, it's really cool the way it becomes one voice speaking together. And, you know, I just have to throw out there in terms of which side are you on. I don't know if you know. I love that song, and I've learned that it was written by a woman named Florence Reese, whose husband was a union organizer in Harlan County back in the 30s, which was part of the same strike union busting bullshit that Jay Gould, the robber baron, famously said he could hire one half the working class to kill the other half. And so I submit that the teabaggers who think that they are part of the protected crowd are simply the ones that they have hired to kill us off. But Florence Reese, they had the hired thugs from the union owners, the mine owners, like George Carlin called them, the owners. Her husband was being chased by the thugs, and they were out to beat the shit out of him and lock him up or kill him or whatever they were doing under the pay of the owners. And the husband got away, but the guys, the thugs, busted up the house in front of 7 children, and Florence Reese sat down and wrote, "Which Side Are You On?" And that song lives on today.
Can you imagine
and even,
being that
you know,
woman?
Yeah. Because she was just a mom, man, but she was standing up and she said what she had to say. She manifested her reality through a creative process that sings to us nearly 100 years later.
Well, I'll tell you something too. I have to give little Deborah Ann Barry kudos for this. My liberal bat signal sister reminded me, because I told her, you know, I'm going to get myself a ride down to, you know, with a chair, down to our little village square here. We have an old-fashioned little Florida town, and there's 2 streets running up and down. And I said, I'm going to take my Guy Fawkes mask, put it on, and my picket sign for Occupy in Solidarity and Lake Worth, and sit in front of City Hall. And she said, don't do it alone, because you know what? You know, you're the one who told me. It's the new terrorist laws. They can throw you in jail and make you go away for a long time. So it's just, you know, it's just that easy. And so if you want to be a part of this, please find people to buddy up with. I think it's important to say that. If you don't hear me on the if you don't hear our show you might want to call somebody and say,
"Is
anyone seeing Glenn?"
Where's Gwen?
I have to go fucking blow you out, honey, because, you know, oh, no.
It does get scary, though. I mean, when you think of these, you know, a while back, the government, the American government was moving tanks and stuff to position them around major metropolitan areas to quell civil unrest and disobedience in the event of an economic problem, crisis, to be armed with non-lethal weapons like... I think it was in Pittsburgh that they used the sound wave things, and in a neighborhood, and a college professor was permanently deafened by this new toy,
yeah,
the police had.
Yeah.
The
intimidation.
But I saw it on
tactics.
RTTV.
Yes, the intimidation tactics that are actually being played with, and that were used, I guess, in Pittsburgh. A couple with them using their nightsticks against their shields and you know, banging their way down in a line towards the protesters and that kind of thing. It's extraordinarily intimidating. And when you've got people, let's face it, there are going to be elders in these groups. There's going to be children in some of these groups. You know, I'm sure that before it is found its crescendo, as it is building, there are going to be people who are going to arise to just lend support whenever they have the moment to do so. And that means that you got everybody and everyone from any situation coming on board. Tricia, did you see any of that going on down there?
Just in terms of cops or just the intergenerational nature of the congregation, if you will?
Right.
What's the question?
Definitely.
And that's where I've got to download the photos I was able to get. I talked to this little old couple who's like 75, if they were a day, sitting there to say,
wow.
Yes, we are the 99%. 99% is all kinds. It takes all kinds of people to make 99%. But they were down there. A young woman was addressing the group with her baby in a snuggly, you know. So there are kids. There are, you know, there's an older person in a, well, gray haired anyway, in a wheelchair. One of the occupiers is, you know, having to use canes and things, crutches. I mean, there are all kinds of people in all kinds of conditions because that's who we are. And it could be, you know, and it's, but I have to go back to, like, you know, Adam Kokesh, he does this show about Adam versus the man, and they were doing this thing at the Thomas Jefferson Memorial a while back because the cops in D.C. made it so you can't dance at the Jefferson Memorial, and the cops came in and kicked the living, I'll send you the clip, but the cops came in and beat the living crap out of a couple of people for dancing.
Yeah.
Dancing.
Yeah.
They weren't even mouthing. But the point is, like, when people are standing around and suddenly cops come in and beat the shit out of protesters, it cuts down on the number of protesters. People are afraid, and that's why cops, you know, and that son of a bitch, Tony Baloney, who came over and squirted down those girls.
Thank you, Baloney.
I mean,
they're calling him Baloney. I'm like, no, it's Tony Baloney as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, well, Tony Baloney comes walking. I mean, I saw, you could see it across, like, from clear across the street for no reason, and just, like, maces down these girls that probably weigh 200 pounds.
Who are walking away from him. They weren't even facing him. They were walking away.
Behind a barrier that the cops were squeezing
behind
them behind.
Exactly.
You
and
know,
this
I mean, like,
actually did his own people. He actually ended up spraying his own cops. He's a moron.
You know, and so it comes to find out he's done it before, and, you know, but he's management, and somebody was making that point with Herbie Monsters the other day. It's not just, you know, it's not a rogue cop. It's the owner's hired thugs, just as if it was Harlan County in the 30s, just as if it was Jay Gould and the railroad workers in the 1890s, just as if it was, you know, they did in Africa with the, you know, when they go in before apartheid, you know, to do the gold mines. I mean, this led to this kind of behavior and thinking from the wealthy is what brought us apartheid to South America.
Well, and
you
it's what colors people's minds who have got, you know, it's the uneducated who are afraid of people of color. It is the uneducated who are resentful of other people for what they perceive them to have that they have not. It is the uneducated, the people who don't know things that have never been given the opportunity or never sought it out to broaden their minds, expand their horizons. It's about knowing something. It's about learning something. Before we sign off here, I'd like to leave this thought. There was during the 80s, there was a fellow by the name of Raymond Moody who began to document all of the near-death experiences that he could. And he found that there was a common thread, a common experience that went on. And many of us have, you know, heard or seen or read books that, you know, from Into the Light to all of these myriad of others. But the thing is, after documenting over 10,000 actual cases of near-death experience, which is clinical death, that means your heart stops and they've got to reanimate you, this experience was the one that came back. You know, you go to this light, and this light will ask you the first question, not who did you love, not who did you be good to? It's not that. After you go through living your life through the shoes of all the people that you have actually come into contact with in this life, that karmic wheel, once you get past that, the light asks you, and it's always the same question. And what is it? You teacher should know. It's what did you learn? What did you bother to risk learning? What do you know? It's not about what your religion is. So, and that is an actual fact documented in near-death experiences. So it's the uneducated among us that are the bigger part of the problem. And I see Commander Krell is here for the last 4 minutes of the show. And he's just back from Occupy Tulsa. So I'm going to ask David Williams. We've had Murphy and Tricia on with us today, and Rick, and I want to thank, and Diane G. stopped in, and I want to thank everybody who was here and part of the show. Thank you, T.E. Nolan, and thank you, Murphy, and and thank you, my fashionably late commander down there, David Williams. And hopefully he will be with us on Here Be Monsters tomorrow at a regular time, which is 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Solidarity with Roundtree 7, the number 7.com writers, in solidarity every damn day that there is occupation across the land, across the planet, and most especially with Wall Street. I thank you for listening and giving us this time. Please spread the word. Spread the word. Wear that mask, that Guy Fawkes mask, backwards over to the grocery store and let people ask you what it's about. Or wear a pin that says, "Are you occupied?" Something like, get out there, talk about it with people, get the awareness up. Also tomorrow on Here Be Monsters, David Williams will be on to talk about Occupy Tulsa. And if he can't be on, I'll record what he has to say and play it back. And our special guest with myself, Jack Jodell, and any of you who show up is Kevin Blanche, who is our videographer over at Roundtree7.com. And as you all know, Kevin has, you know, he's the F-bomb king. He is the F-bomb king, but he is definitely knowing what he's talking about. And he's been talking with a lot of people at the Occupied. So it's Kevin Blanche tomorrow. Thank you so much for being with us. I don't even have any time to play a song off, but I'm going to start one. And
Jack Murphy? What?
I don't, but I do. I'm going to play this in for the a minute of this for Trisha. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it. Murphy, thank you. Trish, thank you.
Oh, my friend, thank you. And I love
that guy. Thank you, Gwen.
Trish, it's a pleasure meeting you.
Thank you, folks.
My
and we see you tomorrow.
My daddy's a miner, and I'm a miner's son. He'll be with you, fellow workers, until...